What a precious song that is. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. We've been talking about not giving the devil a place in our lives. We don't want to give him a place to make it easy for him to tempt us. Ephesians chapter 4. And shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege to be in your house today, and I pray that you would draw us nearer from our time spent together. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians 4 and verse 27, neither give place to the devil. So we've seen, number one, we should not give the devil a place by rejecting the light that God shows us. Number two, we should not give the devil a place in our lives by being unforgiving. Number three, we should not give the devil a place in our lives by neglecting to check out from the Bible what we hear. And then I'd like us to turn to Zechariah chapter 3. Zechariah chapter 3 for our next point here we'd like to look at. Zechariah chapter 3 and verse 1. Zechariah 3 and verse 1. And he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and who? Satan standing at his right hand to what? Resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? So Satan was there to resist the high priest, Joshua, the high priest. He showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. So number four is, do not give the devil a place in your life by trying to resist preaching and teaching of God's word. When it comes to the priest, well, let's go to, hold your place here if you would, but let's go then to Malachi, not very far away here. Malachi chapter 2, Malachi chapter 2 and verse 7, Malachi 2, 7. Joshua was the high priest. Well, what should people do in regard to the high priest? Malachi 2, 7, for the priest's lips should keep what? Knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. So people were to seek the priest, to go to the priest to hear the word of God. So let's go back to Zechariah chapter 3 there, Zechariah 3 verse 1. He showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. Well, I actually had thought about this morning having our deacons up here trying to resist what I was trying to do. And I had all these things planned out, and I thought, you know what, these guys are not going to want to do that because they're my helpers. You know, they're not demons to hinder me. They're like angels of God to help me. So I didn't think that'd go over so very well. So,
well, the next best thing, okay.
Okay. All right. I want you to look at verse 1 again. And he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord. And who? Satan. Standing at his right hand to what? Resist him. So this is Satan today, okay? Don't want to give our deacons a hard time. So this is Satan. We don't often think how Satan tries to resist the word of God being preached and taught. In your Sunday school class this morning, guess what? Verse 1. Satan wanted to resist the word of God going forth. And guess what right now? Satan wants to resist what's going forth. We saw from Malachi chapter 2, they were to go to the high priest to seek the law of God. What did Satan do in regard to the high priest? Verse 1. Standing at his right hand to resist him, to make it hard, to make it difficult, to try to make it so the word of God would not go forth. Now, there's three ways that people try to resist and stop the word of God from going forth. And I'll just mention them, and then we'll look at them in detail. The first thing is there's resistance to stop the message from going forth. Secondly, there's resistance to stop the listener from understanding the message if it does go forth. And then thirdly, there's resistance to stop the listener from obeying the word if it does go forth. And if he does hear it, then there's the decision, okay, do I do it? Do I obey it? So let's look at those three things in detail. The first one, number one, is there's resistance to stop the message from going forth. So Satan does not want the message to go forth in the beginning. He tries to stop it, to resist it from happening. I appreciate all of you who were able to take part in the park ministry yesterday, and if you were not able to, appreciate your prayers. It seemed good to get back out there and preaching in the open air, and we just trust that the Lord will work in many hearts through the ministry yesterday. But there's been that resistance to stop us from going out there, and I was just told yesterday that someone was entertaining the possibility in Greenville of putting an amphitheater on the opposite side of that corner. I mean, that corner where we've been told it's too busy to have any commotion there. Now someone has actually entertained the most motion to put a setup there for entertainment or speaking or whatever. But that's just it. Satan, you see, he is in the unseen realm, but he's always standing there trying to resist the word of God from going forth. He doesn't want us out there. He doesn't want the word to go forth. And so resistance to stop the message. Resist, according to Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary, means to literally stand against, to withstand, to act in opposition or to oppose. So Satan opposes the word of God going forth. He will resist it. He'll try to withhold it. What can we do about it? Well, you notice here in verse 2, and the Lord said unto Satan, what? The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? So what can we do? Satan is here, whether we see him or not. He's there trying to resist. He was there at Joshua's right hand trying to resist people being able to come and hear the word of God at his lips. What can we do? Well, we can ask the Lord to rebuke Satan. Now, we in our flesh are no match for Satan. You know, I sometimes hear people say, yeah, I'm going to tell the devil right where to go. Yeah, right. We're going to see in just a moment here about something about that. In our strength, in our physical strength, we can't tell the devil anything. And we're going to see in just a minute, Michael the archangel did not even personally rebuke the devil. He looked to the Lord to do it. In fact, let's look at that right now in Jude verse 9. Michael the archangel, powerful angel, but even he did not try to personally rebuke the devil. In Jude verse 9. It says, yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about what? The body of Moses. Now, if you recall, Moses died up there on the mountain, and it was the Lord that buried Moses' body. Now, if it ever comes up the matter of cremation, you know, it's getting more and more popular to cremate bodies. But that is not the end of a Christian. In other words, flame is not the end of the Christian. Now, if you have to attend to the funeral of your parents or some relative and they've already put it in their will that they want to be cremated, you can't do anything about that. But a Christian should never request cremation for himself or herself because that's giving the wrong picture. The picture of the Christian is asleep in the ground awaiting the resurrection day. The picture of the Christian is not being burned to dust by the flame. So that's the end of a lost person is the flame. But so whenever you have any say, if a loved one asks you, well, what do you think? Do you think I should just be cremated and save the family, save my estate, you know, having to pay out the money for a burial plot and so on? You just say, hey, God will provide. God will provide. But our end is not fire. It's awaiting the resurrection day. So when God could have easily consumed Moses' body with fire falling from heaven, he caused fire to fall from heaven on other occasions and totally consumed people. But he did not do that. The Bible specifically says that the Lord buried Moses. Now, Satan did something to or with Moses' body. And that was the situation here. We wouldn't have known that other than Michael is talking to him about it. Verse 9. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses. Durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. The Lord rebuke thee. So don't ever get up in the morning and tell the devil where to go and how to do it. No, the Lord rebuke thee. That is the scriptural example. So that's what we should do. What should we do before we go to church? What should we do as the Sunday school teacher begins to teach? We should pray, Lord, please rebuke Satan. Zechariah 3, verse 1, he is standing, and of course, Satan can't be everywhere at once. Only God can be. But Satan, in the unseen realm, we see cherubims in Ezekiel chapter 1 and Ezekiel chapter 10. Cherubs move as fast as a flash of light. They move as fast as lightning. That's fast. That's like 6 times around the earth in a second. That's fast. So Satan can move fast, but Satan can't be everywhere at once. But he has many of his fallen angel friends, his demons. And so, but Satan, as fast as he can, tries to resist the word of God going forth. So what can we do about it? We can pray. Lord, rebuke Satan. Don't allow him to hinder our Sunday school teacher today. Don't allow him to hinder the preacher today. Your family devotion time, guess what? Satan doesn't want you to read the scripture to your family. He doesn't want your family to hear the Bible. So that should be part of our daily prayer. Lord, please rebuke the devil and not allow him to hinder the word of God from going forth. That's one thing we can do and should do. Notice in Luke 22, that is the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke 22. Luke chapter 22. Jesus' example was to pray. When Satan was trying to hinder the work of God or hinder God's people, Jesus left us the example to pray. Luke 22, verse 31. Luke 22, 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold who? Satan. Satan hath desired to have you that he may what? Sift you as wheat. Have you ever watched a combine, combining wheat or corn? Isn't it amazing? I mean, it's combining, cutting off these stalks of wheat or oats or whatever, or cutting off the corn stalks, and then if it's shelling the corn, it always amazes me how it's just back there, that pipe sticking up and then pointing down and just spitting out all the kernels of corn and leaving everything else, blowing it out the back. Jesus said to Simon, Satan has desire to have you that he may sift you as wheat. You know what? If Satan wanted to, apart from the Lord's power, he could leave all of us devastated by the end of the day. Oh, we may be tallying up, stand and straight and seemingly full of kernels of wheat or corn. By the end of the day, he could be spitting us out, just little bits and pieces, apart from the Lord's power. And so what did Jesus do? Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. What did Jesus do? Verse 32, but I have what? Prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. I have prayed for thee. What did Jesus do at this prospect? Satan wanted to resist Peter. Satan wanted to decimate Peter. And he could have easily. Satan hath desired to have you that may sift you as wheat. Satan desired to have Job, and God allowed him to a certain point. Do you see how he devastated Job in one day? Killed all of his children. Took all of his wealth. Those cattle and those camels and those goats and those sheep, that was his wealth. He took it all in one day. He sipped him as wheat. And then the next round, he took his health from him. That's what he wanted to do to Peter. Lord, let me have Peter. He thinks he's so strong. Let me have him. I can crush him in one day. What did the Lord do? He prayed. He prayed. And we need to pray one for another. We need to pray for the work of God. We need to pray for our missionaries. Think of the gays in Mongolia, what they have faced. They went over there the first time, and just Mrs. Gay, all kinds of physical problems, and they end up eventually coming home and was trying to do the work the best they could from here. Then they decided, no, let's just go back. And so they went back, and pow, as soon as they got over there, she was hit again. One thing after another. So right now, they're in the States again. And we need to pray for our missionaries. We need to pray for those doing the work of the Lord. We need to pray for each other. Notice in Ephesians chapter 6, this is not a physical battle we're facing. You can't lift weights to prepare for this one. It will not do any good for this battle. Ephesians chapter 6, it's not a physical battle. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Ephesians 6:10, finally, my brethren, be strong in what? The Lord. And in the power of what? His might. So it's not looking to us, it's Him. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle what? Not. We wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood. But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, taking you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So it's not a physical battle, it's a spiritual battle. And we need to pray that the Lord would rebuke Satan. It's more than we can handle. So in James chapter 4, we need to be submitted to God. James chapter 4. We need to be submitted to our leader. James 4, verse 7. James 4, 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist who? The devil, and he will flee from you. So it's only as we submit to God and stand in His strength that the devil will flee. And we need to pray that God would rebuke the devil. So there's that resistance. There's Satan. Every message that goes forth, every time a Sunday school teacher teaches, every time you go to give your family devotions, every time we're down at the park ministry, every time there's unseen, unwanted guests, and they're trying to resist the Word of God from going forth. And so we need to pray, Lord, please rebuke the devil and his angels and prosper your word to go forth. That's number one. Number two, there's resistance to stop the listener from understanding the message if it goes forth. So Satan's plan A is to stop and not allow the message to ever go forth. But if God says no, not going to allow you to do that. The first time, the first round with Job, what did God tell Satan? Don't touch him. He can touch all that he has, but don't touch him. The second round, God says, now you can touch him, but you can't take his life. So if Satan can't stop the word from going forth, his plan B is to so work in the listeners' hearts that they won't understand what is being said or how to apply it. Let's look at Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. We don't want to give the devil a place. So we need to pray. We need to pray not only for the messenger, but for those that are hearing the message. Satan has a plan for each aspect. If one thing doesn't work, he'll try another. In Luke 8, verse 4, Luke 8, 4. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him, saying, What might this parable be? And he said unto you, It is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this, the seed is the what? Word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away what? The word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. So Satan will come along. Those by the wayside is where the seed, it's the heart-packed path where the seed falls, and then the birds come and take it away. The seed. That's picturing the devil. If he can't stop the messenger from giving forth the word of God, he'll try to snatch those seeds out of the hearts of people so they won't understand it and respond to it. Now, along with this, notice in Matthew 13, Matthew 13, how does the devil accomplish that? How does he take the word out of someone's heart? In Matthew 13, in verse 18, how does he accomplish that? Matthew 13, in verse 18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. So how does he snatch it away? When they don't understand it. It's new to them. Well, the longer you have to think on something and meditate, the more apt you are to remember it and to mull it over in your mind to think about it. So what Satan wants to do is, as quick as possible, snatch that seed out of your heart, out of the listener's heart. How does he do that? It might be telephone call. I'm thinking of when you're standing at someone's door and trying to give them the word of God, the telephone rings. Maybe a TV program. Sometimes people, when you talk to them, don't want to turn off their TV. And so they're listening, you know, one ear is listening to the TV, the other ear is listening to you. Satan uses that way to snatch that seed. Sometimes maybe a visitor. Where they're talking to someone and someone else drives in the yard. Now their thoughts are interrupted. They're not going to dwell on what you're saying because they're thinking about who just came. And so their mind is, it might be a negative comment by someone. This happened Thursday night. Brother Jerry was talking to a young man, and he brought up the matter of faith to this young man. And then from the inside, a young woman begins to scoff at the idea of faith. Like, faith is something that people who don't think believe. It's just something they accept, and they really don't think it through. And so that's a way. Brother Jerry was talking to this young man, and Satan uses someone else to scoff at the idea. Don't let this young man think about faith. Quickly try to distract him. Try to ridicule the whole idea of faith as if it's some blind leap in the dark, or if it's something that weak, unthinking people do. And so that's Satan trying to come along and snatch that seed out of a person's heart. Satan doesn't want people to hear the word, but if they hear it, he's going to try everything he can do to snatch the seed out. He doesn't want them to meditate. It's like you can go out and plant grass seed. But if the grass seed isn't there, like the other day, and I'm not sure if these animals were eating bugs or my grass seed, but we have a little project in the backyard, and so I planted grass seed, and here are these cranes. Not the crane family, but the bird cranes. Two of them were out back, and my wife says, hey, they're right where you planted grass seed. And I don't know if cranes eat seed or if they eat bugs. Maybe they eat both. I don't know. But normally I don't shoo them away, but I did. I walked out. And as soon as I walked out, they walked off. So I didn't want them. And then I think she told me the turkeys were out there too. So I don't know if turkeys eat both too, but I don't want them eating my grass seed. The only way that grass seed is going to grow is if it has time in the soil to take root. And it's the same with the Word of God, and Satan knows it. The longer the Word of God is mulled over in someone's mind, the more apt it's going to take root and show them the truth. And so he doesn't want that to take place. So he'll try to resist it. So Satan, he's trying to resist the message from going forth. And if he can't, if God says no, I'm not going to allow you to stop the message from going forth today. I'm not going to allow you to stop that Sunday school teacher. I'm not going to allow you to stop the preacher. I'm not going to allow you to stop their family devotions. You can't do that. So then he's going to go to plan B. He's going to try to disrupt the listeners. Get them thinking about something else. As quickly as possible, get that thought out of their minds so it can't take root. Number three, there's resistance to stop the listener from obeying if the message has gone forth and if it has been understood. Okay, so Satan has plan A, B, C. I mean, he has all the way through Z and beyond. Let's start over again. Have you ever had an outline so long you had to start through the alphabet again? That's happened to me sometimes. So he'll stop. Okay, so the message has gone forth. I've heard it. I understand it. But there's still something that's dependent upon it. What am I going to do about it? God says, do this. I now understand I should do this. But now there's that third decision. Should I do it? Should I do it? I said something to my youngest today. Need to get up, get in the bathroom, get your things done, ready for the next person. And he asked me, he says, can I wait until 8:30? That was 5 minutes. And I said, sure. But I knew, I just knew, once... It's kind of like if you don't get up when the alarm clock rings, then it's harder. It's harder. And so it was a little after 8:30. I noticed some things were still undone. So that's the way we are. The best thing is just to get up and do it. If it's time to do it, get up and do it. Well, we had an assistant pastor in Chattanooga, Tennessee. His name was G.R. Faulkner. But he had an old saying about... when you wake up, get up. And when you get up, wake up. Those are two different things, you know. It's easy to, well, it might not be easy for you, but you can get up when you wake up. But if you're really tired, it really is hard to wake up, you know, when you get up. When you get up and you're really tired, you need to try to read your Bible and your eyes are still blurry, you know, so haven't decided whether they want to focus yet or not. So that's what he always said. He was of the old school. When you wake up, get up, and when you get up, wake up. So, and he was a great blessing. But so Satan will try to get us to delay. I've heard the word. I've understood what I should do. But now, will I do it? Will I do it? James chapter 1. Well, we're in danger because if we don't do it, we'll deceive ourselves. We'll deceive ourselves that we're exempt. Have you ever woke up a morning and He thought, oh, I've got to do this or that. And then suddenly it hits you. Oh, this is Saturday. Or this is Sunday. The schedule's a little different on those 2 days. James 1:22. But be ye what? Doers of the word. And not what? Hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Oh, we think we're so smart. We think we're smart that no one could deceive us. We think, oh, I'm smarter than that. But we're not. In fact, we could deceive ourselves. I think that's one huge thing that's going to hit people in hell that they're not factoring in, is that I can't believe it. I was deceived. I mean, we're talking about a lot of people in this world with doctor's degrees and master's degrees and bachelor's degrees and all kinds of high positions and all kinds of money. And those people think, I'm no dummy. People can't deceive me. And they're going to wake up in hell and suddenly it's going to be, I can't believe this happened. I was deceived. But you know what? We can do the same thing to ourselves if God says, no, Satan, I'm not going to allow you to stop the message. Satan, I'm not going to allow you to take the word out of their hearts. But Satan can still be successful if we hear it and if we understand it. But if we fail to act upon it, then he'll just say, you know what, that doesn't really apply to you. I know that's what most people should do, but it doesn't apply to you. A lot of times, ladies will say, well, I know the Bible says you're supposed to submit to your husband, but you don't know the husband I have. I mean, you know, he's like a Nabal. He don't understand anything. And I know most wives should submit to their husbands, but my situation is an exception. And men think the same way. I know you're supposed to love your wife as yourself, but you don't know the Jezebel to whom I'm married. I know that most men, that is what God says. You should love your wife as yourself, but I'm exempt because I just have a special case. And it's like that in life with everything. I mean, we could all write our own book of excuses. But if we do, guess who got the victory? Satan. Zechariah 3:1, he's standing there. He's standing there at your right hand, just trying to resist you and I from doing the right thing. So we need to rise up and stand in the power of the Lord, not in our own strength, but in the power of the Lord. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word, and I pray that you would help us to submit ourselves to you and to resist the devil, and then you promise he will flee from us. We thank you that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And Lord, we are to fear you, not to fear Satan. But on the other hand, Lord, help us not to be cocky and proud, thinking that we can tell the devil where to go and when to go there, because we can't. Lord, help us not to be ignorant of Satan's devices, how he does not want the word to go forth. Lord, help us to pray for those. Help us to pray for our missionaries and preachers and Sunday school teachers and dads to lead the home, and moms as they teach the children the different things during the day, and even the children as they teach one another, we realize Satan does not want the word to go forth. And then, Lord, help us to pray for each other as when we hear the word, Satan doesn't want us to understand it. He doesn't want to leave that word there long enough where we can get a grasp of it. He wants to somehow get us distracted. And then, Lord, help us to realize that even if he can't stop the previous two, that he'll try to get us to procrastinate and delay obeying what we know, what we've heard, and what we now understand. Help us to realize he wants us to make excuses for ourselves so we don't obey and so that we're not blessed. So, Lord, please work in our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. I was going to have the young men sing what they sang at the park yesterday. Was that Rise Up? Let's see, how could we do this?